Greetings from the one who saved us, redeemed us, gave his life for us, and that we could get together and sing about this morning. It was a blessing to me to, as we sang those songs of what Christ has done for us, and that he rose again, he lives today, and we have a day of opportunity to gather and to celebrate what he has done for us. Why don't we stand together for a word of prayer before we go on? Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before thee again this morning. We thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you that you were willing to come down on this earth as a child, as a man, and that you were willing to walk among us, that you were willing to give your life in our place so that we can have life. And as we think about the words you gave us, the words you shared, and the word that we have to hold in our hands, just pray that that word might become alive in our hearts today. Just open our hearts to what you have for us. We just want to commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to welcome each one this morning. Glad for our visitors here with us. Just want you to feel free and join in our worship service. It's a little different service, we call it council meeting or self-examination meeting. So after the message, we'll be members here will be going through council, and you're welcome to stay with us, but we won't be offended if you leave either. So just glad to have you here this morning. It's a blessing to have Brother Lonnie Yoder and some of his family here with us this morning, and he has consented to share the message with us today, so we're looking forward to that. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So as we think of the seriousness of these words, we want to take time to seek the Lord and search our own hearts. You know, it's not a time, I don't believe it should be a time that we come up to twice a year and we try to clean the slate, then we relax again for 6 months. That's not what the Christian life is all about. It's simply a time to take extra time to reevaluate, to see where we are, look back, and, you know, where is our heart? Where is how are we lining up with the Word of God? Are we living our lives in a way that brings honor and glory to Christ? And when we think of our own sinfulness, the nature that we were born with, the hopelessness of our situation, you know, when man sinned there in the garden, the devastation and the hopelessness that followed, death, bloodshed. As we look around around us, the pain and the suffering, the things that are going on. You know, Friday we had a privilege of going to on a guided tour to Creation Museum in Branson with the instruction class. And incidentally, we were privileged to have their best guide according to the faculty there. And I think that's probably right. He did very well. It was a blessing to me as we went through there. Just to see the inerrancy of Scripture and how the Old Testament was pointing forward to Christ. Now, thinking a little bit about the flood, and Noah and his family, you know, they were the only ones saved. Think about that. All these people and only 8 souls saved. Now, Jesus says, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it." And I was struck with the thought that Denton shared there with us. You know, there's only one way to salvation. And in their case, it was through that door. There was no other way. There was, they had the opportunity. There was only 8 souls that got on there, but there was room for many more. And the truth of the matter is, if it would have got so full they couldn't have all got in there, on there, I think the flood would have been stayed. I don't think it would have happened. So I don't think there was any limit to the amount of people that could have taken opportunity of that door You know, I believe there were many crying out for mercy, but it was too late after that door was shut. It was not going to be opened again. And unlike the popular belief that there are many paths and they all lead to the same place, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way." You know, it's only by complete abandonment to the world. Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." That's taken out of Luke 9, 23 to 26. So what is worth hanging on to? You know, those people there that got to watch them build the ark and made fun of this man that's doing this strange thing, building this big boat that there was no water close by, no water to carry this thing. I don't know what they thought when those animals divided up and came walking up that plank two by two, animals that typically didn't get along, but they calmly walked, came from the wild and just walked up that plank. We don't know how that all happened. Maybe we do. I don't know. I didn't ask you, but I don't think we do. But they all came in there up that. What were they thinking? Why didn't they seize that opportunity? There's something strange here. This is not normal. Well, if we think about when Jesus came and look at what he did and how he reached out, healed, the miracles he did. Why didn't people grab a hold of that? There was some that did, but there was many that saw all that, but were not willing to give up. There was something they were hanging on to. They were not willing to give up. So that's mankind, and we're a part. We are mankind. So we have those same tendencies, those same inclinations to go away, to stand back, to hold off, to not be willing to give up all. Are we willing to let the things of the world, self, lust, pride, anger, bitterness, you name it, bar us from the gift that God has made available to all mankind, the hope of eternal life? Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly," excuse me, "righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We all have that opportunity. Isn't that wonderful? And then he gives us a list of things that we should do. Live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing. You know, what we believe, what we do, isn't going to change the fact that he's going to appear, that he's coming again. But how we're living is going to make all the difference how we look at that when we experience that. He has done all for us. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a special people, a precious people, zealous of good works. Matthew 22:35 says, "Then one of them which was a lawyer asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And when our devotion to Christ flows out of a heart of gratefulness and love for what he has done for us, instead of simply wanting to avoid what we rightly deserve, that is death, we sinned. We were without hope. And like the rich young ruler, Christ wants our all. He wants, without reservation, complete self-abandonment. You know, there is a way. Jesus is a way. He took our place. He suffered in our stead so that we could have life. We don't have to walk away sorrowful like that rich young ruler did. Let's follow the example of Zacchaeus. You know, we all love that story. A man that was so anxious to see Christ that he climbed up in a tree. He didn't care what it took. He wasn't worried about making a spectacle of himself. No reserve. He did something that was not dignified. People didn't do in that day. It was full commitment there. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want you. Now, the rich young ruler walked away sorrowful. He did all the right things. He said, from my youth, I've kept all these things. I haven't, you know, I've obeyed my parents. And he gave the whole list of things that he did. And I think he thought he could get to heaven on his merits, on his own merits. But Christ brought him to reality. That was all good. There was nothing wrong with what he did. That was good. That was right. You know, I don't think Zacchaeus could have said that same. He could have made that same statement. You know, he hadn't. He had taken from the poor. He had. He wasn't honest. With dishonesty comes lying. He was that kind of a man. He couldn't give that. He didn't have that pompous statement he could make that I've done all these things. I've kept the law. But he came to the place that he didn't care what it took. He didn't want anything to stand in the way. You know, Christ gave his all. He wants it all, given from a heart of gratitude. Closing here, 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's that beautiful words. According to his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's something that is not out of reach. It's something that we can all experience if we are committed to following through with whatever Christ asks us for whatever he calls us to. Let's bow our heads for prayer.